The church, the local church, my spiritual growth. Amen. I wrote that the church, my spiritual growth. The local church, my spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have something to look at today. And I'm deep going of the past. Hallelujah. Amen. I was having a conversation with someone in school yesterday. I was in my study center yesterday, and the person was saying, the person was trying to do a differentiation. He said, "Smart, yeah, I like your church." I said, "Why?" Listen to what he said. He said, "Because your church is not this new generation specialist. Your church is like all those, like PhD." Oh my God. As the guy was busting my head. I was just laughing. This one knows some other people. He said, like all those CAC. I like, why did you say so? He said, the way you have come in teaching, you teach all those Presbyterians, and you are always, I have seen me teach, I'm always very calm. Now I'm not like all these situations, you'll be shouting. Like, you know, you just let me at the right time. You are just saying shitty things. I just say, I'm a teacher of the word. Hallelujah. Amen. And most times, you always come in when I'm teaching, but teaching is vital. I know what I told you. I think teaching is vital for truth or growth. Amen. Amen. So it was a certain year. I'm not like all those new people. I do it a whole lot. Oh, don't I do it? You guys are smiling. You guys are smiling. The teaching is important for spiritual growth, you know. Amen. It's a path I've decided to take. Hallelujah. And that is why I want to make sure that everybody that is, hope this is recorded, right? To make sure everybody that is listening to me in the local church where I pastor, which is here, and Dr. Mu is, I see pastor Dr. Mu. Hallelujah. In the local church that I pastor and all our branches worldwide, we are people who have to know the word. Hallelujah. That will take time to teach the way we do. Hallelujah. Yeah. I believe I've not explored my teaching ability. Those in women will tell you. How many of you have gotten invitation from women? You've not sent that invitation. What did you say to me? Please, this introduction gets to everybody that meant for women today. Let them get their invitation to be. Hallelujah. So you that means it's close enough. I think about that. Yeah, you can't just say, the letter head, put it on PDF and send to your WhatsApp.
WhatsApp or email address.
Amen. We do 12 hours, we do sometimes all day. Hallelujah. No standing. It's human. You must know doctor. Hope you're not recording this part.
Into 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to you in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Did you see that? Mark 16 from verse 15. Mark 16 from verse 15, and Jesus said to them, "Go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned." And said, "And this sign shall follow them that believe. Say, my name will cast out devils. Say, they will speak with new tongues. Say, they will drink that. They will take up serpents. My name will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Right? Okay, the next one should be your pastor Emuji. Okay. So they will lay hands on the sick, right? Am I right? Yeah. This is the new tongue. This is how they will take up serpents. That's what I'm doing. So they will take up serpents. They would. You guys are not praying for me. I'm forgetting scriptures. "And they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They would lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken this to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Luke 24.
Let me tell you something.
He says, Luke 24, from verse 24. And when he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are in the law of Moses and the prophet and in the Psalms concerning me, and they opened his understanding that they might comprehend the scripture. And he said, Thus it is written, behold Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and now repentance which is remission of sins, who will preach in his name amongst all nations beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. Now we looked at this. Okay, look at John 20, verse 22 to 23. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, whosoever sins ye remit, I remit it. And whosoever ye retain, I retain. And so these are the closing remarks of Jesus within the 40 days, right? Acts 1, from verses 2 into 3, he said, Jesus taught them for 40 days the things concerning the kingdom of God. So Jesus taught them 40 days, and we said, this will be the closing remarks of Jesus within the 40 days, captured by the different writers of the synoptic in different manner, right, captured in different forms, but yet they are saying the same thing, right? They are saying the same thing. So when Matthew says, lo, I am with you always, Mark says, and they went forth. Did you see that? When Mark said, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with you, this is why I'm with you, lo, I'm with you, and the Lord walking with, that will be act of apostles. Did you say that? That will be act of apostles. So, Luke will say, we'll call the preaching, which man said, go preach the gospel, we'll call it the remission, the forgiveness and the remission of sins. They preach. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So the gospel is the gospel of God's forgiveness. Hallelujah. What are you following? So when you say, ye are witnesses of this thing, is this, lo, I am with you? That is what it means. Hope you are following me. Hallelujah. So John will now say, it is when a man believes the gospel, his sins are forgiven. So they are saying the same thing. So what do we summarize it to be? Discipleship, right? Entering into discipleship and what happens in discipleship. That was the summary of Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. Hallelujah. Okay, it's just doing this continue. Hallelujah. So let's see something. Hallelujah. So that means what happens in discipleship, that's what we summarize it to be. Now Luke makes us see that Jesus was reading from the 39 books, which is Genesis down to Malachi. Luke 24, verses 45, from verses 25. It says, all fools and slaves have to believe in all the prophets have said. You see that? Have spoken. He said, ought not the Christ, the Christos, who is the Mashiach, ought not the Christos to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Now that word to enter there is the word that is used for a place somebody has not been before. So don't say Jesus was there, then he came and went back there. No. He has never been in this place before. And where was the glory? The indwelling. So Jesus has never endured man before. The same thing, so I wanted to say this yesterday, but I did not say it. There is nothing called theophany or Christophany. What are you hearing? It never existed. Theophany means God has existed in the earth before the incarnation. No. Or Jesus was in the earth before the incarnation. No. Hallelujah. The incarnation, when I mean was in the earth before the incarnation, don't you miss what I'm saying? It means, I mean there have not been a reincarnation before now. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. God has never become a man until Christ. So there's nothing before Christ, there's nothing called Christophany. There's nothing called Theophany. Theophany means to have existed before the incarnation. What are following this? Amen? Aha. You needed to point that out to us while we continue. So now Jesus taught from the 39 books, right? that's 9 books, which is Genesis down to Malachi, to show you that Jesus is God, and yet God has to read the scriptures. God read the scriptures. Yeah, how can God? You get to just say, I'm God. This is what this thing means, though. You have to subject himself to the 39 books. So therefore, every believer should subject himself his theology to the theology of the scriptures. You must subject this conclusion of scripture to the conclusion of scripture. Hallelujah. So Jesus will conclude where the scriptures will conclude. Therefore, we will say the instructions of Jesus were the instructions of the scriptures. Right? When Jesus said, go make disciples. That go make disciples will be instructions of scriptures. Hallelujah. So that means that Jesus said, go bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Is it the same thing with Matthew 28:18? Yes. Will it be the same thing with Luke 24? Yes. Will it be the same thing with Mark? Yes. Hallelujah. Because the instructions of Jesus will be instructions of scriptures. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So what is the instructions of scriptures? We've always seen that, right? Genesis 1, 26 to 28, and God said, let's make man in our image. Now before we get there, Jesus' instruction was given to man, right? His chosen one. Not everybody, but his chosen ones. His disciples. Those whom he has called. Those whom he has chosen. So that means, God's instruction within the 39 books will be found, carried out by men, his man. Hallelujah. Right from Genesis 1, the instruction of God was given to God's man. Genesis 1, 26, and God created, 27, and God created man in his image, male and female created he them. And God said, be fruitful, right, and multiply. Hallelujah. Replenish the earth. So that instruction to replenish the earth, which will be the same instruction in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens in the earth. Hope you're following me. Will be given to man. Hope you're following me. Will be given to man. So that responsibility is man's own. That is why all through the book of the, all through the 39 books, God was found using men. That's why you have the word Nabi, the prophet. God was found using men. Right? Hallelujah. God used Noah. First of all, God used Abel. He used Adam, used Abel. Right? Hallelujah. He used Abel. He used Enoch. He used Noah. He used Abraham. Right? You find them, go talk about it. Abraham in Genesis 20 was called a prophet, a Nabi, God's spokesperson. That means Abraham was God's spokesman. We'll find someone like Melchizedek. Melchizedek is God's prophet, God's priest. Are you following me? God's spokesperson. Melchizedek, as I've told you, is not God. It's not Theophany. Are you following me? It's not Christophany. No! Melchizedek was a man. Are you following me? He was the king of Salem. Salem was a place. Are you following me? Amen? Amen? A known place. Glory to God. So, let's move ahead a bit. So, God will use man, his men. His men. So, that is why he will use Moses to write, to teach the children of Israel the oracles of God. So, Moses will then write the book of Genesis to an Exodus audience. Okay, following me? That becomes important. You see where I'm re-echoing Genesis to an Exodus audience? When it will become... when we begin to look at that critically, say, oh, no wonder pastor has been stressing it from now. That would help your understanding of the book of Genesis. When you understand the kind of audience he was writing to. Remember, you have to sit in the seat of the first audience, right? Hallelujah. Very well. So God always uses men. God always uses men. Hallelujah. Therefore, we will say that man, in the image of God, is God's masterpiece. Man is God's masterpiece. And we saw that yesterday, that is why the sin of the devil was not a sin towards God directly. It was a sin towards God's man. Hallelujah. So the fall of the devil or the sin of the devil is not because of Corista. Satan is not because Satan was not an opposing force to God. Say, get it into your wonderful brains. You hope you're hearing me. Satan is not an opposite force to God. No, Satan was created. He's part of the fallen angel.
Hope you're following me.
It's the angel that didn't keep their first testimony. So that means the sin of the sin of the devil is related to the sin of man.
Hallelujah.
And in the sin of man, who do you find here? The devil. That means the sin of the devil. You remember what we read in Isaiah 13? Who was he coming against? Who did Satan come against? Not God. Who did he say he wanted to be like? Not God. He wanted to be like who? God's man. Hallelujah. God's masterpiece. So the sin of the devil is against man, not God.
Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me.
Amen. So it can be related to the sin of man.
Amen.
Or the sin of the devil will be found in the sin of man. That's good. Better said. Amen. Look at the angels in Genesis 6. Their sin is not that they slept with women. We saw that angels are impotent. Angels cannot multiply. So if these angels cannot multiply, that means we have to start looking again at what happened there. It was just sin against God's man. Okay, we are this man. So that teaching, we actually looked at it, right? So get back to the teaching of angels, ministry of angels. We actually looked at it. Hallelujah. We actually looked at it, Genesis 6. Amen? Amen? Amen. Satan cannot be pregnant with a woman. Say, I have spiritual husband. Tell your spiritual husband to your spiritual self. It's nonsense. It has no biblical foundation. It has no root in scripture. It has no place anywhere. Spiritual husband. What is spiritual husband?
Nonsense.
Continue. Luke, in telling us that Jesus reads from the 39 books, also makes us see that Jesus will interpret the 39 books with the 39 books. That is interesting. He will interpret the 39 books in their world, not in his world, in the world of the 39 books. So that's what I mean by interpret the 39 books with 39 books. Hope you're following me. How did he do it? In verse 27, he said, he expounded unto them in all those scriptures. That word to expound is the word diamenio. Diamenio. Dia and heavenly. Where you find the word for language used for an interpreter. So Jesus went through. That means to cut through carefully. So Jesus cut through scriptures interpreting the language. Hallelujah. So that means a very vital part of Bible translation is interpreting language. Remember I told you that what you have today as translation of Bible is actually interpretation. Because the role of the Bible student is to interpret the scriptures. Don't follow me. Hallelujah. It's Bible interpretation. Those are interpretations of scriptures. So the Bible student is an interpreter. Hallelujah. So the word diamenio means you will have to interpret their language. Why? Because language has evolved. Yet the truth of God's word has not changed. Right? The reason why I said it yesterday, that I spoke to some people, I wrote it online and someone was angry at it. It's called, started saying, did Jesus use iPhone? That's those two things are just response to the fact that you don't have an answer from scriptures. Right? God's standard, God's way will not conform to yours. You have to conform to God's standard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same way to scriptures have been written. And God will use a language. Right? Which language did God use? Hebrew. Right? Hebrew and Greek. Amen? Would you call that the language of the Spirit? Yes. That's the language of the Spirit. That's how the Spirit wrote to us. Hallelujah. Amen? God inspired men to write in their language. So God will use a man's language. Don't you follow me? He said, I don't know. I have a vision and God appeared to me and was speaking Calabar. What did you expect him to speak to you? Was that, it's not Calabar, you understand? Don't you follow me? Yeah? So you have to be calming down. You don't know English at all. And you don't know English. Pim, what you know is ethics. And you expect God to talk to you in English. How will you understand? Yeah. So the language of scriptures are the language of men. Glory to God. Are the language of men. So that means to understand, listen, the language of the Spirit to me today, I have to understand the language of men. I'm not just understanding the language of men, just like Jesus did. Jesus did that many. That means Jesus will have to put his audience in the seat of the first audience. Right? He will have to use words the same way they use it in the 39 books, right? The usage of words will not change or will not be used in his own day. Like what Jesus used, will use it based on the way scripture uses words. We looked at it, right? They came to meet and said they have no wine. And Jesus understood they have no wine as they have no spirit. They have not the new, they are not yet saved, right? They are in the world, right? Right? So what did he do? He converted water into wine on or in the marriage feast, showing you that in the marriage feast of the Lamb, in the redemption, what would you have? You would have the new wine. Hallelujah. So that is why the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12, he said, you have come into an innumerable company of angels, right? He said, to the assembly of the firstborn. So you know what assembly is used for? A feast. For the use of a feast, just like the marriage feast. So that means the marriage feast, what you have is the Spirit of God. So from there, where did you find him again? We saw him in the temple. From the temple, he was with the woman at the well. The woman was talking about water and he said, I'll give you living water. So your use of water will be the same way Moses will use water. Water, Moses' water will come from the rock, right? And Jesus will call, oh, they're following me. Moses' water will come from the rock and Moses will say, God is the rock. So what is the water of Jesus? The water of Jesus is eternal life. That means eternal life will flow from the rock. Jesus, God is the rock. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. So Moses' use of water and Jesus' use of water will be the same. Moses' use of rock will be the same thing that Jesus will use the word rock. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are thou, Simon by Jonah. Said, upon this rock, right? Upon the truth of what you said, when Peter said, thou art the Christos, thou art the Christos is interpretation of scriptures. Hope you're following me. In interpretation of scriptures, and I said, upon that interpretation that I am the Christos, I will build my church. Hope you're following me. Now, when he uses that word, I'll build my church, that is the church will be founded on that truth. And who will be the rock? The rock will be himself. That is why in the resurrection, where will you find the church? In himself. Hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. So Jesus will use word the way scriptures will use word. He will call the blood the New Testament. His spirit shed for us in the New Testament, Matthew 26. That's his blood. Now what happens to the blood? If you get down to Moses, Moses will use the blood to show that the animal that was killed is alive. Okay, ladies. And where will he sprinkle the blood? He will sprinkle, because Moses is trying to show them that there will be the resurrection. So what will he do? They will kill the animal, right? To show that the animal will die. Right? So he will die. Right? So the lamb will die. So how will he then do the miracle of resurrection? He's dead. How will he do the miracle? In their world, blood is used to show life, right? Blood is used to show something is alive. So you will take the blood and take it into what? The temple. The holiest of all. So what would the writer of Hebrews say? He said he has worked. Where did he offer his blood? The blood is called the internal, it's called his spirit in the redemption, shed for our conscience. This is that, so that means his blood will be found in our hearts. Hope you're following this. That is his spirit in our hearts. Hope you're following that. So Jesus' use of blood will be the same thing with what Moses was talking about, the blood. So Jesus will interpret words in the 39 days in, not in his word, but in the word of the 39 books. So you're following me. So that means you have to use words like that. And remember I told you, the golden rule for interpretation is that the word will not mean today what it never meant when it was written. Hallelujah. That means I have to sit in the seat of the first audience and hear what they heard. And in hearing what they heard, I must understand what was the language of their day. So therefore, just like Jesus will still read the Hebrew Bible, even though he was living in a Greek-dominated world, but he will still read the Hebrew Bible, and also still have the Septuagint, which are the Greek translations of the Hebrew Bible. Okay, following that. Okay, following this. Glory to God. So he will read those books. You read both Bibles, both scriptures. Hallelujah. Because he will have to interpret words rightly, not in his word, but in that word. Okay, following me. So that means word of Jesus would have its narrative where in the 39 books. So if I hear Jesus say redemption,
Or not just Jesus, the apostles too. Jesus and the apostles. Right? Right? The writers of the epistles, when they say redemption, for example, I will not just speak redemption as redemption by something. I will go back to read the narrative of redemption. What is the narrative of redemption? I will go back again to where? To Egypt. How God visited Egypt. Right? That will be the narrative. That will show what redemption really is. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. So, what's like that? Hallelujah. What's like that? I will have to go back and reread. What is it? Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So when Jesus says, in Matthew 28, from verses 18, he says, make disciples, Matthew 2, we say the background will be of gathering, right? What else we say? A gathering. And we say the gathering will be the gathering in his name, right? Matthew 18, from verses 18. Matthew 18, yeah? Are you there? Verses 20 rather. For what two or three are gathered together in my name. So that gathering will be the gathering in his name. Right? The gathering will be the gathering in his name. A physical gathering. Right? Hallelujah. A physical gathering. A physical gathering that will proceed from our gathering in him. Because in chapter 16, he has told him, I will build my church. Right? I'll build my church. At least, Sophia this morning was correcting me. I was singing, your church. I was singing the song. I said, that is not church. It's church. I said, thank you. Your school is working. Hallelujah. It's church. Okay. It is your church. Yeah. Glory to God. Sometimes I just marvel. I thought it. Okay. Let's continue. You know that look. Just look at her. How old are you? According to your father. That is just it. Amen. So our gathering in him. Okay. Hallelujah. So that means we said that means if we find the gathering in the instruction, it means the gathering is an instruction. Right? Right? And we saw last week from the book of Acts, right? In the book of Acts, we saw that what God did. He did, or what God does rather, he carries it out through the church. Right? God's path in the earth is carried out through the church. The local church. The physical gathering of believers. Hallelujah. So, if you look at something quickly, I didn't show you last week, but I thought to show you this week, that by 11, verse 29 of Acts, Acts 11:29, there was famine in Jerusalem. In Judea. Famine. Now, the 29, and then the disciples, look at that. That's what they said. Now, and the disciples, who thought, if I get to this place, there's something I'm supposed to show you. Jesus is his own word. Wait, pause. I just remember. We'll get to this now, but let's go back a bit, track back a bit. We use all the word diamond, you have to use word first in their world, right? I wanted to show you this about the use of the word Satanos. It sticks my mind. Satanos is the word Satan. It's the word in the Hebrew Satan too. Satan. In the Greek, Satanos. Now, if you look at the way it is used in the Greek by the writers of their pieces, even by Jesus, Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. He said, Jesus was calling Peter Satan. Peter is the Antichrist. No. He called Peter Satan because of Peter's actions. Right? Peter stood in front of him and rebuked him. Matthew 16. He rebuked him. But because Jesus will use words the same way words are used in scriptures, he will call that action of Peter Satan. Hallelujah. What's referring to that action? He calls it Satanos. He says, get it behind me, Satan. Now the same word, when he used the word get it behind me, Satan, was the same thing he used for Satan in the temptation. Remember that? Satan?
He said, Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he puts, look at, remember I told you, that story of the temptation can be summarized into Jesus' earthly walk. Everything that happened to him. Right? Right? Come on. He came tempting him, turned the stone to bread. They came tempting him. Cleverly in scripture you discover that the Pharisees came tempting him. Hallelujah. You find your and you find your response the same way it was in the temptation will be similar response you will give to them in the in his earthly work. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that temptation didn't happen, it did. Hallelujah. But then you now be summarized into his earthly work. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So you find that he will say that there. He will say that. He says, get it behind me, Satan. The same thing with them, Peter. To show you that also behind such actions of opposition is the devil. Hope you're following me. But yet he wasn't calling Peter the devil, he was calling that action of his the devil, and he says, get thee behind me. That is the word for discipleship. In discipleship you follow. You are not opposing. So Jesus will use that word. Right? Now then I will say we're going to get back to look at the narrative of that word, right? Now if you look at 1 Corinthians 5:5. Are you following me? 1 Corinthians 5:5. Talking about that brother who has his father's wife. And says, what did people say they should do? Say, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Deliver such a one to Satan. What do you mean to deliver to Satan? And we didn't say, okay, now in the name of Jesus, I deliver you to Satan. No. That is, that deliver to Satan is what opposition. And you say, you give that one an open rebuke. What are you following me? You give him an open rebuke. That's what it is for. Hallelujah. Let's see something. How it is used in the Old Testament books. First of all, God's action was called Satanos in the Old Testament books. Look at Numbers 22. Numbers 22. Sorry, I skipped this earlier on. Numbers 22. Are you Numbers? Amen? Numbers 22, verse 22. I will look from verse 21. And says, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab to go and call the children of Israel. After God tried to reach him and he was adamant. Remember? When God tried to reach you and you're not listening and tried to talk to you and not listening, to come how?
Okay.
Right? And then he starts saying, forfeited beast. Hallelujah. Come on,
I'm
not talking to this. Yeah. I'm not looking at me. What rhema is this? It shows you are not the listening to message. When Methodist come out, make sure you listen to me. The first thing is to get it. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Because most of what we do is that we build on subject, right? Might not be the same name again. Might have moved, right? I remember teaching us on being a loyal friend. We still had, we still had some teachings around doctrine, too, right? So you have to listen to being a loyal friend because they are building blocks, right? You keep listening to them like that. Hallelujah. So let's continue a bit. Now, if you look at Numbers 22, that says, when Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went to the prince of Moab, with the prince of Moab, brother, and the anger, and God's anger was kindled because he went. Do you see that? Now, God's anger. Don't worry, we're not looking at that today. God's anger. Naturally not God's anger. It's just because of the it's called God's anger because of what happened. Right? Now look at what happened. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an what? Adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and with his sword in his hand. You know, so the ass stopped and trying to rise there and the ass spoke, right? But something else to see is the fact that that's the angel of the Lord standing in his way. Eh? Look, how did he say the angel of the Lord standing in his way was? He said in the way for an adversary against him. That is, he stood in his way.
That standing is called adversary, because he stood like opposition. Now that is called adversary, that is Satan. The Hebrew word there is Satan, as an adversary. What are you following me?
Hallelujah. It's not the devil, it's the angel of God. Angel of the Lord. What are you following me? Amen. Amen. Aha.
Look at, is used for God. Look at verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore thou hast smitten the earth these three times? Behold, I went up to withstand thee. This is another word, to withstand is adversary. I went up to withstand thee because thy will is perverse before me. Did you see that? So it's God's action. Right? Uh-huh. It's God's action. Thy way was perverse before me. So question, is that the angel of the Lord or the Lord himself? The angel. Is that the angel of the Lord or the Lord himself? Huh? You don't know. What's the sentence? Amen. Because thy will was perverse before me.
Hallelujah.
So, very important. So that, to withstand thee, that withstand there is God's action called Satan. What about following me? It's God's action called Satan. What about following me? God's action called Satan. Withstand thee. And if the God was stopping him, and that stopping him because he was on the way, wrong way, and God stopped him, is God's Satan. God's action, God.
What am I remembering?
Something else again to see. In 1 Samuel 29, before we get to Chronicles. Okay, let's look at Chronicles. No, 1 Samuel 29 first. Let's go to 1 Samuel 29. I want to be fast. There are a lot we have to look at and close, to close on time. 1 Samuel 29. Are you there? Verse 4. It says, and the prince of the Philistines were wroth with him, and the prince of the Philistines said unto him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place, which thou hast appointed him, and let him not go down with us to battle. Lest in the battle he become an adversary to us. You see that? For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto this matter? Should it not be with the head of this man? You see that? So, in the battle, he become an adversary to us. This is that. So that means his actions might now become a stumbling block. So that becomes an adversary. This is that. So it's used for a man. A man. Hallelujah. Amen. Second Samuel 19. Verses 22. And David said, what have I to do with you, ye son of Zeruah, that ye should do this day, that ye should this day be an adversary to me? Shall any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel? Did you see that? So, the man's action was called what? Adversary. Man was called Satan. Did you see that? Right? You also find that word for Satan was used for nations, countries, nations in 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11, 14, 23, and 25. Used for what? Nations. Right? It's also used for the devil himself. All through Job. Job 1 into 2. Job 1 from verse 6 to 2, verse 7. Used for the devil himself. Hallelujah. So we find that word used for God, right? Used for man, and used for the devil. Hallelujah. It's used for opposition. In 4 Chronicles 21, it says, and the Lord is used for God. And Satan rose and moved David to count the people. In Samuel 24, he said, the anger of the Lord. So the question is, who moved David? David did the counting, but because of the response, or because of what happened after that census was done, it was now said it was the Lord that moved him. Some, why another writer, who is Ezra, said, no, it is Satan that moved. Okay, following me. So that action, that what happened after he counted, that was an opposition, was called Satanus. Okay, following me. So you have to read that story to see. Very simple. Hallelujah. Amen. So when I now get to the epistles, you see that that same word Satan was used for man, right? Peter. Used for the devil, right? Glory to God. In fact, it was used for false prophets. In 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul says, we know that even the devil has been transformed into an angel of light. This is referring to false prophets. That means behind false prophets is the devil. Okay, because they oppose the truth of God's word. And where was the first time we find that in scripture? The devil in Genesis 3. Okay, following that. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it's used for opposition. For persecution. It's called Satan, adversary. Okay, following that. We will find it in 1 Timothy 1:25-15. Just let you know that. So very important, what are you, so when you hear words, you have to go back and look at where was this word taken from, right? When you see what's in scriptures, you go back again and reread, right? We read the narrative around the use of such words. Okay, follow me. Go back and reread the narrative around the use of such words. Very important. Hallelujah. Okay, hope you got that. Okay, so let's move ahead. So I began looking at church, right? Church. So something I wanted us to see in Acts of Apostles chapter 11, verses 29. Acts 11:29. So what God did us through in the book of Acts, He did it through the local church. That means God starts in the earth, He will carry out through the local church. Remember, believe me, will be carried out through the local church. So Genesis 1:1 will be done to the local church. Genesis 1:28 will be carried out to the local church. The number 14 will be carried out to the local church. Psalm 72:19 will carry out to the local church. Habakkuk 2:14 will be to the local church. God has placed His premium on the local church. That is how God reaches the whole earth. Okay, follow me. Look at verses 29. It says, the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in where? Judea. Did you see that? They sent to the Levite and the children. How did they do it? Which also they did and sent it by the elders. Sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Did you see that? So that means the congregation gathered. They wanted to send gifts. So they gathered it to the local church and sent. That is very important. Hallelujah. To the local church. Nobody just wanna say, hey, God, let me give me. Give to the local church. In fact, in Romans 15, Paul said this concerning the church of Macedonia. Romans 15:25. He said, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for your poor saints which are Jerusalem. Is that? How would they do it? It's through the saints, through the gathering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said that the gathering. So we said, when you say gathering, where does your mind go to? Where do you get the narrative of the word local church or church from? The 39 books, right? When you say gathering, you have to find that narrative, you have to read that narrative where? From the 39 books, right? Hallelujah. So in Acts 7:38, that was where we left off last week, right? Acts 7:38, that was we left off last week. Acts 7:38. He says, verse 37. He says, but this is that moment which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto this burden that come to me. Him shall they hear. This is he that was in a church in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him in Mount Sinai, and with our father who received the lively oracles given to us. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 39. Because we're going to read this in the epistles and back again to the passage. We say, so whom our fathers would not obey, but trust him from them,
that in their hearts they turn back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us God to go before us. For as for Moses, which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Did you see that?
They make a golden calf, they take them back to Egypt. So in their heart, they turn back. It's going to be a big narrative as we look into this teaching today. But it's a narrative that will also take into the teaching on local church, the church and local church.
Maybe for women, hallelujah.
Maybe.
But into the church and the local church. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
What about your amen? Glory to God. Now let's look at something.
Now, Stephen made us see the church will be the gathering in the wilderness. That is where we're going to read the narrative of church from. The gathering in the wilderness.
Hallelujah.
So when you use the word the gathering in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness, that means where did the church come from? From where? Egypt, right? Is that Egypt? Right? Right? They went through the sea, which is the Red Sea. They passed on dry ground.
Right?
Okay. What does that mean? The Red Sea will signify the dry ground, and the water will signify death, burial, and resurrection. So that's why Jesus will say, I will build my church, the gate of Hades. He will be reading from that event.
Okay, what do you mean?
Reading from that event. So that means there will be a movie out to come. A movie in.
Hallelujah.
Okay, follow me. So that means when Jesus said, I'll build my church, Jesus is reading the same narrative. Now, he now gets to Matthew 18. Now says, where two or more are gathered together in my name. It's the same narrative of where they gathered in the wilderness. But he now said, this time it will be in my name. This time it will be my church. Okay, follow me. Okay, following me, but there is a narrative that was underneath.
Glory to God.
Let's see something. So that means, listen, let's take that narrative together. Amen?
Okay.
I hope to put this in one of our very recent material that we have in 2005.
No rush. Yeah, no. Let's go see you. Hope that will mean.
Remember, there is no graduation. Huh? But there will be those that will repeat. You don't know. People will repeat. Let's continue.
I see you are being the person. You are trying.
Hallelujah. So let's continue. So let's read that narrative, right? So that means the church of Christ will be the gathering of the delivered ones, right? Right? The gathering of the delivered ones. That is what happened. Those that were delivered from Egypt, right? Right?
Yes, sir.
We'll find them as those that will be the gathering of the church. Will they have this is not part of my note, but let me ask you. Will they have
false brethren?
Yes.
Where did you find false brethren in Scripture? The book of Acts.
Just if you replay Acts into Exodus, you will see.
Amen. Glory to God for that. Amen. Amen.
So the gathering will be the gathering of the delivered ones, right? Physically, right? There will be that physical gathering of the deliverance. So, the Red Sea will be that exit, right? The Red Sea will be that exit. They pass through, they were baptized, Paul will put it, they were baptized into Moses. And when we use the word baptism, it implies both death, burial, and resurrection. That's what you need to see. So that means the Red Sea will now be a new beginning. Okay, following this. Okay, following that. The Red Sea will now be that new beginning. That new beginning where in the wilderness. So that was why when they came out of from the Red Sea, they sang a song of redemption. Listen to that. Eh? So when Paul now writes singing
singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs than arity. What will be the psalms, the hymns and the spiritual songs will be songs of our deliverance, songs of our redemption. This is that is why in the new birth we sing songs of our redemption, what has happened to us in Christ. That was what Moses sang. See? Hallelujah. That is the narrative. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Aha. Very, very important. They sing him to yourself. That's it.
They sang in the congregation together.
Amen. Amen. That becomes the narrative for how we sing songs even in the church. Oh, well, I'm not talking about singing. Glory to God. So the Red Sea will be that exit and will apply a new picture. Was that what we said? Now look at how Paul will put it in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Hope you're understanding this. You are, right? Okay. 1 Corinthians 10. Come on, say more of our brethren. I would not that ye be ignorant of how our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Did you see how I put it? Hallelujah. So he said they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea to show that the Red Sea will imply that there will be a new beginning. Right? It's called baptized. So baptized, when you hear the word baptized, it has to do with water. Right? It means an immersion and a coming out. So it's used for cleansing. Did you see that? Will show a new start, a fresh start. Right? A new beginning. See that white house needs a fresh start. With a fresh slate. Right? A new beginning. Old things are passed away. Right? So there was that symbol in the wilderness. Right? Or in that exit. Okay, let's go ahead a bit. In the new beginning, was that what we said? Okay. But yes, in that same 1 Corinthians 10, look at verse 5. Say, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Was that what we read in Acts 7 just now? Our fathers did not obey. Did you see that? So what happened today? They were overthrown in the wilderness. That is, they perished. They perished in the wilderness. Hebrews. A lot of Hebrews will put it like this. Hebrews 4. Are you there? It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promised level of entering into the rest. Okay. For verse 2, say, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as to them, but the word preached not profited, not being means with faith in them that heard it. Hallelujah. Verse 3, for we which have believed and entered into the grace, as our sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my head, although the walls were filled from the foundations of the world. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So they couldn't enter into his rest. So Paul said they were overthrown in the wilderness. Hope you are following that. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Very important. That is very important for us to see. And Paul now used it for us. Look at that 1 Corinthians. He now says this serves as an example. Verses 11. Happened to them for examples, that is written for our admonition, that the ends of the world are come. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Whom the ends of the world have come, so for our admonition. So, praise the Lord. Hope you can see this. So, they perish in the wilderness because of unbelief, right? Right? So unbelief towards God's word. Yes, Joshua. In Joshua, there was another crossing. Right? There was another crossing of Jordan into Canaan. Did you know that? Do you remember that? There was another crossing? Why? Because the generations that came out of Egypt were overthrown in the wilderness. So there was a new generation, right? So it was that new generation that got into the land. So, that other generation will now have to cross the sea with Joshua. And that was for a reason. They could have gone over Jordan, gone through Jordan for the sea, but it was for a reason. They had to cross Jordan Sea for a reason. Hallelujah. for a reason. Why would they have to do it? Because God is still restating his commitment of a new beginning. Remember, they were all shadows, right? So still God restating his commitment for a new beginning, that there will be a new beginning in the redemption. So they will also go through Jordan. So what did John now do? John will now go to Jordan and now baptize in Jordan. John baptizing in Jordan was deliberate. Hope you're following me. John's baptism in Jordan was deliberate. So he goes to Jordan and is baptizing in Jordan. Why was he baptizing in Jordan? To make them see that there will be a redemption. There will be a new beginning in the Christus. Hallelujah. So he goes to Jordan to baptize and takes their mind back again, that there is going to be that Jordan experience into the rest. Hope you're following me. Into the promise. Hope you're following that. He goes back to Jordan. Jordan again is that same Jordan that will find Naaman became whole. Is that same Jordan. Hallelujah. So there will be that Jordan experience. And John writes it for you to see. John did that for you to see. Okay. What about following me? John wrote it. John wrote what John did for you to see. But that's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about following me? So therefore, if I go back to the church at the wilderness, I will therefore now read some narratives. Right? I'll read the narrative of the church in the Jordan and I will read it into the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I wrote in my book, because the wilderness experience will be a shadow of the book of Acts. Beyond what I'm going to teach you today, there are other narratives you'll find from there. In fact, the response of Peter, severally, the response of Peter and the response of the apostles in the book of Acts, you'll find this narrative in the wilderness. You'll find it all there. Hallelujah. You'll find the narrative there.
Hallelujah.
So, a prominent future, I will find in the wilderness, reinforced in the book of Acts, and by the epistles will be that of the composition of the church. In the wilderness, they had the leadership, right? They had the leadership, which was saddled with the responsibility of ensuring growth amongst the people. There was leadership. There was a leadership that was to, there was the leadership that was to handle groups. They, their role was to teach for groups. Oh, you're following me. In fact, they, when you read, what I will not do in this teaching now, but I will do it subsequently, I mean this teaching, in this series, is that you will not find, maybe I might try to do it, you will not find the definition of spiritual growth. You will find it in the sanctuary, but you will find it in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So when you hear Paul write, talk about paideia, spiritual growth, grow up, you will find it in the 39 books. How are you following me? You find it there. So that will just be for us. How are you following me? That will be for us.
Glory to God.
Amen. How about Jesus? We are like that. Right?
Glory to God. Okay, let's continue.
So, they are part of the responsibility in the wilderness for the growth of the people. Something we will see as we progress is that there cannot be spiritual growth outside the gathering. Or, you cannot find spiritual growth in rebellion. You also find it in the wilderness. There was no spiritual growth in rebellion. There was no.
Amen.
There was no.
Hallelujah. You won't find spiritual growth in rebellion.
So today we're just looking at the leadership. And what we're looking at today as a roundup. Very good. Okay. So Moses was appointed by God, we know that, right? Right? Well, Moses was appointed by God. Moses was the leader. He was appointed by God. In Exodus 18,
he had a council.
Okay. In Exodus 18, he had a council from his in-law. I'll pick some verses. Verse 17, and Moses' father-in-law said to him, the things which thou do is no good. How? Because Moses was the only one teaching them, doing everything, answering their questions. So he said, and there were thousands of people. Thousands! In fact, history books say millions of people. And he was answering all of them, one man. And Moses' father said, ah, this thing you are doing is not good. Surely you will get tired. You will wear out, both you and the people. Do. For this thing is so heavy, for the thou are not able to bear thyself alone. Now, asking to the Lord, which I give thee counsel, God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people Godward, that thou mayest bring the cause unto God. Say, for thou shalt teach them the ordinance, the law, and show them the way wherein thou must walk, and walk that they must do. You see? So he will tell them, he will teach them. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men. These are able men. But yet, able men, your mind goes to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. The position of who? The position of who? Of a bishop. And a deacon. So when Paul was writing the criteria for a bishop and a deacon, was writing from there. Did you see that? So he said, you will teach them. So that means there will be people who become able. Is it in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, the things which you heard from me among many people, he says, the same call me to faithful men. The faithful men will be able men. And who does he call able men? The deacons. You see that? So that means deacons are leaders in training. You see that? Deacons are leaders in training. So he said, leaders that we are watching. So he said, committed to faithful men. So that means Timothy is the pastor, right? But he has men that he's watching for leadership position, right? So he says, now commit these words to them that they might teach others also. That means Timothy will also have the charge to raise up leaders, right? Who become pastors. Where was that narrative gotten from? That narrative was gotten from where? The chapter 9 book. From here, Exodus 18. Did you see that? Now he called them able men. Did you see that? Amen? Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God. Did you see that? Men of truth, hating covetousness, right? Come on! Okay. You can put your hands in 1 Timothy 3. Alright? So let's read that together. It is men of truth. Are you there? Hating covetousness, go to 1 Timothy 3:3. Not covetous. Do you see that? Are you seeing that? And place that one to rule of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. There is a rulers of hundreds. So based on this, some will handle hundreds of people, some will handle tens, some will handle two, some will handle one. Do you see that? Eh? Come on. Background will be where? Talent. Did you see talent?
Jesus' parable. Are you watching Jesus' parable? 10 by 2. 10 by 1.
But the talent was not. Who are believing? That's part of that is responsibility. Oh, you are following. Go to God. 150 rulers of 10. So 10, 155, 10, 110. Did you see that? Okay. They say, God will give some people talent of singing, some people have 10 talents, singing, dancing, ball. Are you normal? Because if you read Bible into themselves, don't worry, it's something we are getting to, right? Now, read Bible well into themselves, you will discover that Bible is scriptures are I don't know the word interwoven, but there's no contradiction. It's just like I heard the way Pastor Shengu put it some years back. He would say things like, it's like a conversation. Conversation between people that never met, but it's like a conversation. Moses is speaking. And when Moses speaks and stops, Isaiah picks it up. As if he's replying Moses and yet talking. Jesus comes, picks it up. He's still talking, replying this and then yet talking. Hallelujah. You have to read it like that, like a conversation. Between two people from different worlds that never met. Hallelujah. How about following this? All of them will see Bible that way. There's no contradiction at all. If there's any contradiction in your head, there is none. No. Hallelujah. There's none. Hallelujah. Yeah? I've never subscribed that there was contradiction. Night from time, there was none. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So where were we? So talent, right? So we see that, okay. We'll find rulers, right? Who will choose Moses way, right? Look at verse 2, and let them judge. Now that word judge there is the word used for to teach, the way you instruct the people, all seasons. This is that means Moses was to choose leaders too. Moses is the leader and was to choose leaders, right? Okay, look at Numbers. You can still read that into verse 24. Right? And 26. So Moses chose people. Now look at Numbers chapter 13. No, Numbers 12. So Moses was, okay. In Numbers 11, sorry, Numbers 11, are you in Numbers 11? Numbers 11, verses 25. Let's see this. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke unto him, and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave to the 70 elders. You see that? So those were the chosen ones. Come on. Those were the chosen ones, right? So he spoke, and the spirit rested upon them and they prophesied and did not see. So that means, when he had the Spirit rested upon them, first of all, he chose them, right? If he chose them with criteria, they were criteria, right? Were they criteria? He must not be covetous, he must not be a striker, not, when he said striker, I'm not referring to football striker, though it might include Messi, but not football striker. Amen. Amen. He was not football striker. Not a striker, though. Not giving to wine, not covetous, not a woman beater. Amen? Amen? Not a woman beater, not having 10 wives. Glory to God. Just that. So what I have chosen, what would he now do? He now prays, right? Now have the Spirit of God come upon them. Right?
Can we go back to Acts of Apostles chapter 6? Before I go to Acts 6, did you see Acts 2? I mean Acts 1, when they were to choose the replacement for Judas, they set the criteria first. Two people passed, right? Right? Matthias, and then they now prayed. And they chose one, because they needed one. Do you understand me? Eh? They will now pray. So the prayer will come after the criteria are met. Amen. Just the pattern you see. That was the pattern. So when we now go to the book of Acts, choose for us seven men full of the Holy Ghost. Right? Did they bring for the seven? So that means there was criteria first. Right? Right? When they now brought for the seven, what did they now do? They now prayed and laid hands. What happened? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that the same pattern? Did you see the pattern of Acts in the wilderness too? Are you seeing it? So that means there is always a pattern. There has to be by the believer cannot just live his life anyhow. There's a pattern for us to follow. Hope you are going to leave. There is just that pattern. You can read it over and over and over again. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, when he said the Spirit of God rested on them, will that be God's honor? Will that be God's honor? Okay. God's honor will be on them. So we'll explore that later on. So this implies the leadership of the local church. That's why Paul will now say the leadership is God's setup. It's God that it have God's honor on them. They have God's honor on them. They will be that one leader that God called, and they will be leaders that will be with him, and God's honor will be on all of them. What about Moses? When Moses was to leave, who did he lay hands on? Joshua. You know that he will always be that one leader. And then there will be leaders that will be with him, and the honor of God will be on them. It's like that in the local church. What about Moses? It's like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul will say the leadership is God's setup. The leadership of the local church is God's setup. Hallelujah. And that is why in the epistles and in the Acts, it was very loud that God sets up the leadership. God set up. In fact, in John chapter 21 verse 16, we'll find God calling Peter. Jesus called Peter as the head. This is that. Is it Peter loves thou me more than this? He says, my sheep. That is the position of a pastor, a leader. A pastor, a leader. What about the leader? So when you hear the word pastor, your mind goes back to where? Moses. I'm the good shepherd. Back to Moses. Back. What about the leader? Back to the family. Your mind will go back. Amen. So the God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go ahead. So, it will be very loud. So Jesus, Peter was chosen as the head of the church by Jesus, showing that even God is a God of order. God is a God of order. Paul will say, I write that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the church of the living God. Right? Yes, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 3:15. So, there's a way we should behave. And one way we should behave in the local church is to, one, know who are the leadership. Who are leaders. You have to know this. Hallelujah. Because it is God's setup. It is God's setup. What are we following this? Hallelujah. What are we following that? In 1 Corinthians 12:28, look at what Paul would say. 1 Corinthians 12:28. He says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, proton apostolos, deuteros prophetikon, thirdly teachers. Do you see that? So that means God has designated after them epistia. That is a differentiation. That is a divider mark. He's not saying the first person you read, the prophet, apostle is always number one. No, he said proton. Proton apostolos is the word used for, he's actually reading the book of Acts. He said in the book of Acts, in the church, in the early church, what do you find first? You find the apostles first in Acts 1, right? You find the apostles first. Then the second we find is what? The prophetical. That is to say, that is the order we find them in the book of Acts. He's not saying that they are hierarchies, no. And he's using that to now show, when that is what, after that, that is what epitia. Epitia is used to show a divider line. And then start mentioning some other things like miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, the diversities of songs. Now if you go back to what he has been saying from verses 1 into verses 11, you saw that is what you find in every believer. Okay, so what do you find in every believer? So that means he's trying to tell you that in the local church, you have those who are prophetikon, who are apostolos, prophetikon, didaskalos, and the brethren. Did you see that? Very important for you to see. He just very clear. Hallelujah. So he said God has set some in the church. Did you see that? So that means, first of all, it says, so first of all, it means that local church is God set up. And what would you find in local church? You'll find the legacy, which is God set up. Hallelujah. In Ephesians 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, 8. We won't start entering. Well, we have started talking a bit of our teaching, but we won't start entering spiritual growth. We'll enter there.
That is.
I needed to set all this. Like you see, and it's very vital. I needed you to see that spiritual growth is only found in the local church.
What are you hearing me? Yeah.
I know of a pastor who has on spiritual growth, he has over 70 something tracks. Spiritual growth. He taught spiritual growth for 1 year, 6 months, every Sunday.
Good.
Ah,
wow.
There you go. Very important.
Amen. So, where were we? That's Ephesians 4, right? That is 8. Look at what it says. It says, wherefore he said, he, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, now he said, let us give gifts unto men. What were the gifts? And he gave some apostles. Did you see that? Some prophets, evangelists, prophets of teachers, some pastors, teachers, saying for the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the entire of the body of Christ. We all come to meet some faith and the measure of the sacrifice of the Son of God. Hallelujah. See no more children so strong and far carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the flight of men in which they lie in wait to deceive. Well, that's that. So Ephesians 4. So the leadership is what God gives. Amen. Did you see that? Leadership is God's gift. Amen. Hallelujah. So that means the leadership is God's gift. Amen. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 13:7, he uses two words. Hebrews 13:7 uses two words. So remember them who have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the words of God. So whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So he says, remember them. For the ones, he will say, mark them who are unruly, mark them who cause division, mark them and avoid them. For he says, so your pastors, those who have rule over you, your leaders, he says, remember them. Do you see that? He tells you to remember them. In verse 17, he says, so he says, obey them who have the rule over you. Do you know what I'm teaching is very spiritual growth? You don't know? Well, when we get to talk about, when we begin to enter spiritual, we begin to see all these things. All these things will come back again. It will be signs of growth. Hallelujah. The signs of growth. Hallelujah. So he said, obey them who have the rule over you and submit yourselves. So submitting yourself is important for the watch over your soul, that they may give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief. For it is unprofitable to you. Then it's on with grace. So he says you should obey them. Hallelujah. The word obey them means to listen to them. Hallelujah. Listen to them. Listen to them. In Galatians 6, he says you should communicate all good things to them. Hallelujah. In 1 Timothy 5:17, they are called elders. 5:17, he says, in 1 Timothy 5:17, look at what he says. He says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Hallelujah. So he said you should honor them. They should be counted for double honor. Double honor. Honor them. Hallelujah. You must honor them. Give them double honor. Double honor is both with your mouth, with your words, with your deeds, with your giving. You give to your pastor, you give to your leader in the local church. Hallelujah. Honor them. Which implies to see them as God sees them. Hallelujah. And what background? When it says see them as God sees them. The background will be 1 Corinthians 10 and Numbers 12. 1 Corinthians 10, it says, do not murmur for as the murmur. Do you see that? That means the background will be do not murmur. You have to see them in that office. And who do you have their murmur? The children of Israel, they murmur. Right? They all murmured. In Numbers 12, who do we have? We have Ananias. I wanted to say Ananias, Pastor Peter, no. We have
Aaron and his sister, right? Miriam, murmur. So you don't murmur. What are following me? You don't murmur. You don't dishonor. Hallelujah. So I will see them as that first. You must see your pastors, your leaders as that first. You must see them as God sees them. You must see them in their office. Hallelujah. I believe I will be running up now. Hallelujah. You must see them in their office. First! They might have praises. In fact, not they might have, they have praises. They have some things that are, let me call it, they are weaknesses. Like the world will say this, right? They have praises. They have their weaknesses. Nobody God ever uses is perfect, 100% perfect. They will work in perfection. Hallelujah. We try to get better every day. Hallelujah. I've heard you say, is it not a man of God? Why? No. No. They have faith. Hallelujah. We have witnesses. Yes, you must never talk or see them that way. What are you following? Never talk about your pastor's faith, your leader's faith. It's not a sign of growth. It's not a sign of growth. It's not a sign of growth. It's not a sign of growth at all. We'll deal with all this when we begin to look at honor. Hallelujah. We'll treat honor and our work, our believers work in love. We'll treat that. Hallelujah. But you see, if you don't see your pastors or your leaders in that manner, hallelujah. They have their faces. They have some things that they no, you can't find a 100% pastor. They can't. Hallelujah. And why they can never be, because they are not the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah. The same way too in scripture. You find David. David did an abominable thing, yet God said David is the man after his heart. How about that? You have to take your eyes off that. Even if as pastors and as leaders, you walk on those paths, you will not allow God's light to shine in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. Hallelujah. So I must see them first and honor them that way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I must not allow what I know about them in the physical affect how I see them in Christ. I must not. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say something about, somebody was saying, I don't know, I just walked out. We're having a conversation in the office one time. Someone said, pastors, I can never give pastors loans. I just walked out. But when you know what my pastor did to me, I just walked out. When I came, I was like, why were you angry? I said, angry for what? So when I started talking about pastor, he just walked out. I said, I can't be in that talk. And that is, I didn't even know what they spoke about. I can't lend my voice. My voice. You're not fine. Hallelujah. Because you don't come and tell me what you affect. What I know about that. I'm very careful. Amen. Let me tell you, sister, about this. I don't want to know. Carry it and go. Amen. You don't know. I don't want to know. Let me know. Sister was explaining to us how he went to church one day. The pastor man lambasted in church. That was the sermon for the day. Was talking to their leader after giving their rebuke. You know, that kind of salary.
Yes, that was
years back, in 1990, early 90s. After service, there's a no, as everybody should go. As you go, nobody should go. No hug. Just stood up like this. Okay, everybody just went home. So while he was home, just studying, then the brother that actually introduced him to the church now came in. Headbong, how far? That thing that pastor was saying, is he like, oh, that's carrying yourself. He told him, carry yourself. Leave my house. Did he get? Leave my house before you carry your stuff and come and put on. Don't always entertain thoughts like that. Hallelujah. is that let your honor for your leader, let your honor for your pastor be, I don't want to use the word top notch, but let it be the toughest notch that can ever be. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just like I am today, you can't talk about people that I reverence so highly and I will sit and hear you. In fact, you can't even talk about my pastor's friend where I'm staying. Eh? I might not even have known them. I might not even know them. I might not know them personally. But you can't talk about them around me. It's not a joke. I know Pastor Ebe Damina is my pastor's friend. You can't talk about him where I am. I know he's my pastor's friend. I'm going to say, maybe that is true. Oh God, I will show you off. Because you talk about my pastor's friend, then I talk about him. So don't even try it. Hallelujah. I will block you. Your friendship, what has it added to my spiritual life? Jesus. I don't want to lose you as my friend. Okay, I've lost you. I will lose you, over lose you and lose you again. So you are not added to my spiritual life. So you see anything about spiritual? There's a song we used to sing. The spirit, the physical, spiritual. He's ruled by the spiritual, spiritual. Right? Tell me about spiritual. I don't need physical. I like the spiritual. I'm spiritual. Koba Adaba. You want to Koba me? Somebody said one time, I don't mean to offend you, sir. But there was something that I don't like that one of your friends said. I said, don't even go there. Because I know where you're going. If you value this friendship, physically, I mean, right then, if you stay, I will not let it excommunicate you. I will delete you from my life. It's not as simple as that. That is me. Hey, oh God, keep your heart free. What are following me? Keep your heart free. Amen. Don't sit down. See, a bad habit people cultivate is to sit down and talk about pastors. Don't. What do you hear me? No matter what, don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I must not allow what I know about them in the physical affect how I see them in Christ. In fact, make sure you don't even know anything that will affect you physically from them. Just keep your heart pure. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? Because they are responsible for my spiritual growth. That is really my spiritual life. That is only my spiritual growth. Hallelujah. They're responsible. Hallelujah. Especially being a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a wife, or a husband to them. When you're a father, mother, brother, sister, or a husband or wife to your leader. I see that as one of the toughest things. I see it too. As one of the toughest things you have to, and you have to deal with it well. Especially when you are a brother or sister or father. Not in this our world. This part of the world, father or mother of a pastor. Or a wife or husband. You have to take away how you know them in the natural and see them first as who they are to you. Hallelujah. Nobody following me. Now imagine Mary being the mother of our Lord Jesus. You are the mother of our Lord, of your Lord. You know, there was a time she came with Jesus' siblings and it got to where Jesus was. Jesus was inside and protocol team stopped her. He said, who are you looking for? He said, go and tell Jesus that the mother, his mother, and his brothers and sisters are here to see him. At least he struck my breath. And when they came to me, Jesus, your mother, sir, put out new pastor, sir. Put out new pastor, sir. So who came to see you? So who are they? He said, your mother and your sister. They said, I should tell you. They said, I should tell you that is your mother. You know, this part of our country, that is how it is, this part of our world. Your mother wants to see you. I don't know. Go tell her. that who is my father, who is my mother, who are my brothers and sisters? I say, but they who are here, who listens to my word. If you see that, they are my brother, they are my sister, they are my mother. Hallelujah. That means he's telling them. That not being disrespectful, he's just telling them that this is a family. Hallelujah. This is a family. And those who will be my brethren are those who are forced here listening to my word. We saw that in the book of Acts, the mother, the brother, and the sister became members of what? Jesus' church. Hallelujah. They decided to sing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when they became, they still subject, they were still under the rulership of who? Peter. Amen? That's why you don't have an account of Mary. Mary's account. You don't have Mary's account. Why? You know, you are hearing his napkin. Where is his poo-poo? Amen? But no, those things don't matter. You have to see him first from the resurrection. Hallelujah. Did he give her, did she give eyewitness account all right? Yeah, she might have. But do you understand me? But the major thing there is she became his servant. She became his student. Look at Jesus, James, the brother of Jesus. How did he address Jesus? Look at James 1, his brother. The brother of Jesus. James 1. His brother. His brother. James 1. Say, I, say James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes. This is that his brother. He calls himself a servant. Glory to God. That is the main thing. So, amen? Amen? So being a brother, sister, father, mother, wife, husband, it's important to see that person first as who he is. I recommend that rather than calling the person by his name, I'm calling the person by his name. You know, especially father. Especially mother. Call by your name. Philemon! You can be pastor to them, but you're my son. Right? Brother, I saw you on the television, you are preaching. But you see, you are still my daughter. Right? You are still bearing the name of Rupert. You know the meaning of that name. Eh? You see every name? I am your first father. Any other person you call your father in the Lord is to come after, I am your first father. You know the funny thing? Yeah? I recommend as a pastor that you address such a person, whether a brother or a sister or an uncle or a friend, or you are not the mother or father, or even the husband or wife, call that person first by the name pastor. Hallelujah. That gives you a sense of understanding that person's office. Just get home, just see. And it's a pastor, your pastor in school. Your pastor. So Victor. See. Philemon, I'm calling you pastor, but I'm your brother. No, just call him pastor, sir. Just calling him pastor, sir, changes how you see him. Amen? Pastor, sir. Some people will still be calling M.O.G. Nowhere. You are calling your pastor M.O.G. M.O.G. Nowhere. How you call your pastor M.O.G.? You don't call your pastor by nickname. You call him pastor. See him as that first. What are you having? See him as that first. When you go see, calling your pastor, you don't call your pastor by his name. Pastor Garuda. You are nowhere. He's your pastor. You call him pastor, sir. If there are 10 pastors there, you say, pastor, sir. If you ever look at it, you know, sir, I'm referring to my pastor, sir. Very important. I'm referring to Pastor Garuba. You are not seeing him right. See him first. Pastor. Hallelujah. Forget every other. And they can be 10, 20 pastors there and say, "Pastor, sir." Everybody looks, who is he talking to? He says, "No, sir, I'm referring to my pastor, sir." Hallelujah. But I'm referring to Pastor Garibati. He's the sister. Hallelujah. Amen? 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 Very important. Then you can now point, "I'm referring to my pastor." That's how to see Jesus. Don't allow your honor go halfway. Because those are criteria for your spiritual goals. Yeah. They all count up to your spiritual goals. Somebody, the person that calls his pastor, M-O-G. To me, I don't even see commitment here. It's not see growth. Because in growth, to see them in that office, you have to see them as your pastor first. Amen? Others can call your pastor M-O-G. In fact, we have different names. Hallelujah. S-M-O-G. S-S-S-M-O-G. Senior man of God. A-M-O-G. Apostolic man of God. We have different names. Eh? G-M-O-G. Has name. Great man of God. Have names. Have different names. For the fact that somebody else calls your pastor S-M-O-G. Pastor, sir. SMG, sir. SMG, sir. Pastor means you see him as the one who leads you to spiritual growth. Hallelujah. That the one who leads you for spiritual growth. The one who has been saddled with the responsibility of feeding you God's word and ensuring that you're walking the Spirit, you grow in it and you walk rightly in the Spirit. You are seeing him as that. And when you call your pastor, pastor, you will never see him from the flesh first. You will never see him as that supporter of mind you first. You will never see him as that supporter of asthma first. That one that cannot play games. That one that used to lago. That one that cannot play ball. You will see him first in his office. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And my joy and my hope is to see, not just from our church, but every believer around the world understanding the fact that their pastor has been given to them for spiritual growth. Their pastor plays a major role in their life, in their spiritual life on earth. Their pastor plays the role of God to them in their world. If the role of the pastor wasn't important, God would not have set it up in the church. Let's be on our feet and just thank God. Hallelujah.